At this time, our children that are second grade and down, they are dismissed to go forth to children's church. While they're doing that, let me remind you, if you would take out your worship folder, and there is a tear-out section there. If you would tear that out and take a few moments and fill that out at the end of our service, our ushers will come and they will be collecting those. This morning as we begin, I want to ask a few questions. And I want to do things a little different because I want you to participate. I would like to ask you to stand if the question, your way of responding things, you know, I can answer to that. Very simple to begin with. If you have one or more TVs in your home, just stand. Okay? Now you can be seated. You're going to kind of go up and down, some of you. If you've ever watched a commercial and it has stirred something inside of you saying, I got to have one of those, would you stand? Okay? If you have ever found yourself frantic because you couldn't find this remote control, would you stand? Okay? My kids can testify. I have offered money at times, you know, a buck to the first one, and they go, a dollar? They've learned. They can negotiate there. If you have cable TV or satellite, would you stand? Okay? If you've ever used the TV as a babysitter, how your toes doing? How a feeling? A few of you are feeling. No, this is just, we're just asking questions here. Have you ever watched something that you thought if Jesus were sitting alongside me, I'd be embarrassed or I would have changed the channel? Now we're seeing how honest. You want to go back to saying, talk about if we've got a TV. If you were asked to go 7 days without going to a movie, watching TV, or being on the internet, you have a feeling you would be one edgy individual. Would you stand? Okay? If you, while at a movie, have ever walked out, would you stand? And finally, if you think you watch too much TV, would you stand? Okay, thank you. I have a feeling that the topic we're dealing with today might be rather relevant to the majority of you here at Grace Church. You know, if I were to take out my Bible and say, we're going to look at the Hebrew word for television, and we're going to deal with the Greek word for film, and things like, I can't do it. You know, television, TV, movies, it is not found in the Bible, but there are incredible principles that are found in Scripture regarding how we can outsmart our TV, what we watch. A few weeks ago, at Grace, we were inundated with care cards that had one particular topic on it. And the questions dealt with this. How are we able and what can we do? Because the Miss Nude contest is going to be coming to Central Iowa in the fall. What can we do here at Grace Church? Well, let me give you a definitive answer this morning. I don't know if we can do anything about that. But you know what is more of a concern for me than I'm not pleased with a Miss Nude contest coming to Central Iowa. But I am well aware that in your home and in my home, we have access to that which is disgusting. And it is available by pushing a button. And many who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, we are allowing into our own homes things that break the heart of God. And so this morning, I want to deal with what can we do to outsmart our TV? First of all, let me tell you, I don't think that our television, it is evil. My TV, it's a neutral object. It is just a bunch of electronic parts put together. But see, it can be used for good or evil. The way that we use it determines what it's all about. This past week, my daughter was with a college group and they were flying in. They flew into Seattle, Washington. And she did not know what happened, but this remember when the terrorist alert changed? She was in the Seattle airport. They were not told what happened, but she says, all of a sudden, something changed in that airport. And a place that I could walk, all of a sudden there was someone saying, stop. She goes, you could just tell. And our group was curious what took place. And what took place is they increased the terror alert. And she goes, the countenance of those people working in the airport, it changed. I believe that there will literally be a change in the countenance of you and I if we get a handle on the fact that we are under attack. Now, I don't know about the terrorists. That's not my area of expertise. But I am well aware of that which we have access to with our eyes, that which we can see. We're under attack. And are we aware that we're under attack? Because if you're aware of it, something changes. There are some of you who may want to go off and rant and rave about your TV being some great giant monster that's destroying families. Take out one of these things, and I can tell you one way that the monster can be killed. You press one button, and it can die. It can go away. It can be done if you're willing to kill the monster. So we're going to look at this morning, are we willing to be ones that know how to push the button and say, I'm turning that off. Now, am I asking you to turn off everything? No, not at all. See, we're called to a loving relationship with the Lord. He longs for a relationship with us. He desires to come in. Jesus said, I'll forgive your sin. I want to enter your life. I want to live with you. I want to mature you. But once in that relationship, are we willing to say, Lord, I want to honor you in everything that I say and do? For years, I've heard of how Proverbs 31, for women, it is an awesome passage of Scripture, and it is. This morning, I want to consider Job 31 for men. Many times, guys, we're the ones that love to say, a Proverbs 31 woman, isn't that a wonderful thing? Ladies, this morning, I wonder if you could say, I would love to have my man be a Job 31 man. I want to take a moment and pray because I'm well aware that this is a touchy subject. And I risk being called a prude, but that wouldn't be the first time it's happened, and I'm okay with that. But my desire is more that God would speak to our heart, touch our hearts in regards to what we're viewing this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we invite your Holy Spirit this morning to speak to each one of our hearts, that we would have insight into an area that literally every one of us here are impacted by. We have TVs, we have access to videos and movies and internet. We have so many things in which we can view. And Father, we pray that we would be honoring you. You paid an incredible price for a relationship with us. Lord, we want to honor you with that which we see. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn to the book of Job, the first verse is what I want to read. It is in your outline. It will be on the screen. But look at what it says here in the book of Job. It begins with saying this. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. There were four attributes of his life. Job had to pass incredible tests in his life. And yet at the beginning of it, it describes these four aspects. If you would consider, you see on your outline, there's a TV there. Think of that TV. If it's your heart, if it's your life, think of a fortress. What is it that you would have standing guard? If you had to defend your life and to say, the four guards that will be standing around my life, I wonder if we'd be willing to put these on our TV. On one corner, we'll say, blameless. That's what my life is going to be about. Standing guard over my life will be blameless in that which I do. Over the next corner, we're willing to say, I am going to be upright. Upright, I think, is an integrity. There will be integrity. I will be upright in my life. Stand guard over this corner of my life. And the next area of our life, we'll say, I want to fear God. I will have a continual awareness of God's presence in my life, that God is watching everything that I do. Stand guard over this corner. And then the last corner, to make sure we're surrounded there, I will shun evil. I am shunning evil in my life. I am pushing that away. I am not allowing that to enter into my life. I wonder if you'd be comfortable with those four attributes being that which guards your life. Go down further and you find that Job was one in chapter 31. And this is why I say, are there individuals, not just men, but I think women as well, willing to say, we want to apply the principles. Job chapter 31. It begins in verse 1. Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at
a woman. Think of what he was saying there. He was saying, I am not going to look at anything there that breaks the heart of God.
And ladies, you could be at the point saying, yeah, guys, are you listening to this? But you know, do you know we live in a society that it's not just men, but every one of us, we have the opportunity to look lustfully at so many things. For example, have you ever seen a commercial that you looked at and said, I want that. Oh, I look good driving that. Or you see a vacation and you think, I got to go there. I have got to go to that place. And we begin to envision and dream of what that would be like. How about regarding our physical appearance? Have you ever seen anything, a commercial, anything that you're watching saying, well, I do have a little too much there, and you know, I don't have enough up here, and I got too much here, and a little work, you know what I mean? Well, we begin to look at these things and we think, well, I don't like the way I look. And we can begin to look at things saying, I need to change. How about relationships? You ever watch any shows that you look and you think, well, my spouse isn't like that? Ladies, you ever watch any show and said, when Bubba comes home, he doesn't say that to me. He doesn't look like that. Instead, he goes, hey, Mama, what you got for supper? You know? And yet you watch the show and you see this guy coming and he's romantic and he brings flowers and he sweeps them off their feet and you think, oh, wouldn't it be nice? See, we can look at many things and begin to lust thinking, oh, wouldn't it be great to be able to have that? But Job drew a line in the sand. And he says, I made a covenant, I will not look lustfully at a girl, at a woman. I won't do it. Guys, I'm not going to ask you to stand if you had made that covenant. Because that might be an awkward occasion here at our church. But Job was willing to say, this is what I'm about. And his reason, go down to verse 4. Does he not see my ways and count my every step? Job had this awesome awareness that God is watching me. Whatever I do, wherever I go, whatever I look at, I will not look at anything lustfully because God is watching me. Now that concept of God watching you, it can scare you or it can encourage you and it can motivate you. But go down to verse 7. He goes on. He says, if my steps have turned from the path, and if my heart has been led by my eyes, and if my hands have been defiled, then may others eat what I have sown, and may my crops be uprooted. Do you hear what he's willing to say? If there is anything that I have done in my life, anything that I have looked at, any way in which my steps, my heart, my eyes, my hands have done anything that breaks the heart of God, Lord, take everything I have and give it to somebody else. I wonder this morning if there would be one thing, that will be my covenant, that will be my vow. Lord, if I do anything in that regard that breaks your heart, may others have whatever I own. May others have what I have saved. May others have what I have drive, what I drive. Lord, I am willing to risk everything because I'm going to honor you. He is so serious, he goes on in verse 9. And if my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then may my wife grind another man's grain, and may other men sleep with her. Do you grasp how serious Job was in regards to the covenant that he made? He is at the point of saying, I will draw the line in the sand and I will risk that which means so much to me, my own spouse. I will not break the heart of God. And that which I'm willing to put up, because many times people say, well, you put your money where your mouth is. I think Job was willing to put more than his money where his mouth was. He said, I will take my very spouse and say, if I break the heart of God, if I am looking lustfully on anything, may other men sleep with my wife. Some of the guys right now are thinking, you are not going to ask us to stand if that is what we have vowed. No, I'm not. But for us to take this seriously and say, I will guard everything that I'm about. I want you to circle those words there. Look what he says. All the opportunities we have to view things. He says, my eyes, my steps, my heart, my hand.
I think literally he's saying, my desires, may I lose everything, everything, if my eyes aren't controlled, if my life is not under your control. Jesus spoke about this. Matthew 6:22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Jesus was well aware that this is the window by which everything I look at, what I am enticed by, it runs through these eyes of mine. You know, as I was a kid, my mom had this phrase. There would be certain people dressed rather scantily, and my mom would say, she's trying to give you an eyeful. And she would have that, and when she said that as a kid, you know, here I'm a little boy, I'd turn my head that way. My mom had a way of putting her hand on my side of the head, and she'd say, he's giving you an eyeful, and then she'd turn my head away. I can never figure that out. Because I'm thinking, aren't we supposed to watch? She's wanting you to, but don't watch. There's a difficulty in that there. See, today we have the chance to see all kinds of eyefuls. All kinds. If you have access to a television, internet, you go to movies, you have the opportunities to see things that years ago you never would have been able to see. And now it can be brought right into your home. Think of some of the biblical accounts. For example, 2 Samuel 11. Remember the account of David and Bathsheba? Here's what it says. One evening, David got up from his bed. He walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. Do you know where this whole difficulty began? It began with his eyes. See, he got up, he looked out, he saw her. Now, I don't know what neighborhood you live in. I know my neighborhood. I am pretty convinced in my neighborhood that if I get up late at night and walk out in my backyard, I am not going to be seeing one of my neighbors taking a bath. Now, I suspect the neighborhood you live in as well, there's a pretty safe chance of that. Well, you may say, yeah, but summer and sunbathing. I am fairly convinced about my neighbors and all that there is an opportunity for me in my neighborhood to see someone, you know, nude sunbathing or something. I'm convinced of that. But do you know what there is an opportunity to? Any one of us here, when we get up like David did late at night, there may not be Bathsheba that we can view from the palace, but you can pick up one of these. And you can go to your TV, and you can turn it on, and Bathsheba is brought right into your home. Because we have access now to anything and everything that we have the chance to see. David was not content with just viewing it. You notice that? He didn't just stare there going, wow, am I getting an eyeful here? But he goes, go find out about her. And eventually you find the rendezvous. Because, see, we are people who's not just content to say, I love seeing it, but we desire to participate and do more. For example, I assume some of you are going on vacation this summer. You tell me a place where you're going. It may be the Holy Lands or Disneyland. I suspect in this day and age, with the videos that we have, I could go find a videotape of wherever it is you're wanting to go. I could probably find a videotape. We could put it in the VCR and say, you want to go to the Holy Land? Let's look at the Holy Land. And you could sit there for an hour watching the Holy Land. And I bet all of you would say, wow, that was an awesome vacation. Look at all the money we saved. You know, we didn't have to go for a week. We didn't have to fly. We didn't have to eat out. We saved on hotels. Kids, wasn't that great? Okay, back to our regular routine. Are you going to be content to put in a video of Disneyland and say, wasn't that an awesome hour? See, we are people, we are not content to just see it. We desire to participate. We desire to go there. And that's exactly what we have the chance to do because people begin to see something, they begin to view it, and are we content with that? No, we desire to go further, and that's what led to David getting in trouble. Now think of Joseph. Genesis 39, you have a different account here. Here's what it said. Beginning of verse 7. His master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Now, I think she was fairly clear in regards to her intention. Some guys are a little bit slow. You're unaware if somebody has an interest in you or not. If somebody sitting next to you is a little slow as a guy, just give him a little nudge and say, that could be you. Joseph, He could have been slow, but her intentions were fairly clear. Come to bed with me. She stated it right up front. But look at his response. He refused. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Now apply this to what we have the opportunity to watch. Joseph resisted temptation. He resisted it, and I mean, think of it. He was a testosterone-filled male with an ego. And amidst this, you have this woman saying, come to bed with me. She was opening the opportunity there, and yet it says he refused. He refused to do that. And I think there's a reason why, and it's found in verse 9. Because he had this awareness, much like Job had an awareness of God's presence. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He said, I can't do this. I cannot do this. Because what I do, God is aware of. In that passage there, circle a couple times you find this phrase, he refused. He refused and then even be with her. Joseph was a wise man. There were situations he said, I am not going to even go there. She was pursuing him. But he said, anything in my power, I refuse to even be with her. I wonder what it is about that. You think it maybe is the enticement principle? We view it, we see it, and we long to go further. I think he knew what he was capable of doing. He knew what he was capable of doing. I don't have cable. Now, those that have cable or satellite, it's not bad. I don't have cable. I love four initials, ESPN. I would love to have cable. You know why I don't have cable? I am well aware of what I'm capable of watching. And I'm well aware of things that I can linger on, and that you pause a little too long on that, and that there is access to many things out there, and then when nobody's home, see, have you ever done that where you're watching something and you hear somebody else coming and you change the channel? I wonder if that might be the Holy Spirit speaking inside our hearts saying, you know, there's no business. I've heard some saying, I'll watch this, but you know, the kids shouldn't be seeing this. I've got this little rule. If the kids shouldn't be seeing it, why am I watching it? And so in that, I have made a choice to say there's something that though I would love to have this, I'm going to refuse to do this because I know what I'm capable of doing. But see, today it isn't just cable. Have you figured out regular programs? Have you figured out prime time now that you used to think it's safe? It's not safe anymore. Have you figured out commercials aren't safe anymore? They're trying to sell beer on one hand, and yet they get the most scantily clad wrestling in mud or something. And amidst that, are we willing to just linger and watch? Are we willing to say, I refuse to even watch that? See, I have a choice. I can kill the monster. I can turn the channel. I can refuse to walk it. I can refuse to watch something. Or I can even walk out. If you walk out of a movie, I bet you felt embarrassed. You know, I don't feel embarrassed now. You know who I think needs to feel embarrassed? Many who are sitting there watching it and they're numb to it. Don't feel embarrassed if you watch it walk out. It may be that you need to be embarrassed that you're not walking out of things. My youngest is 11 years old, and I've noticed there's times where Alex, something will come on, and all of a sudden I see this little head kind of turn my way like, what are you going to do, Dad? Because, you know, being a dad, you know who controls this. It's a job description. But to look to see with that commercial, are you going to be watching it? Are you going to turn it off? Are you going to turn your head? And it shouldn't be just those of us with young children. Are we willing to make a decision to say, much like Job, much like Joseph, though nobody may be around, I refuse to participate in certain things. Now why? And David said this later in Psalm 101:3. I refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. You hear how powerful that is? Where he says, I refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Is that your heart's desire? Is that what you're about? Listen to some statistics from U.S. News World Report. 85% of Americans watch TV every day. In the average home, the television's on over 7 hours a day. The average child, 2 to 11, watches more than 25 hours a week. The average teenager, 22 hours a week. The average man, 24 hours. The average woman, 30 hours. The average dad spends 7 minutes a week communicating with his kids. There was a study done in a major metropolitan city. They offered families $500 if you would go 1 month without the TV. They offered 120 families $500. And do you know that over $47,000 was turned down because people said, nah, we'll keep our TV. We'll keep that. For a child from kindergarten through their senior year, they will spend 12,000 hours in a classroom. During that same time, 20,000 hours of watching television. Where are kids getting their values? Compare this. From birth to age 65, if you attend church every Sunday for an hour without missing, you will average 4.5 months of Bible teaching. During that same time, from birth to age 65, you will watch 9.5 years of TV. Where are we going to get our values from? Now, are all movies, TV bad? No, no, no. But listen what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial or constructive. Do you get that? Everything's permissible, but not everything is beneficial or constructive. I debated here showing some film clips. But then I realized there are individuals here, I would have had comments that you would have been offended at the film clips. But I wonder how many of those same things you've seen in your own home. Is what you're watching beneficial? Is it constructive? I'm going to offer quickly some suggestions how you can watch in a smart manner your TV. The first thing, under F, select what you watch before you go to a movie or turn on the TV. You know, I would love to have it where you can say, I have never had to turn off a show, I have never had to walk out of a movie because I have previewed in advance. So F, select what you watch before you go there. Look at the very bottom there. You will see that there are some websites that you can go to. You can read the preview before you ever go. Would you be willing to do that? You know, also a way to be smart there, select where your TV is going to be in your home. Are you going to have your TVs in a very isolated area, or is it going to be in an accountable area in your home? Make sure you're wise in that regard. Second thing, see, we're working through smart here. Under S, you have select M as master. Master your TV and movies. Don't let them master you. Everybody have one of these in your worship folder, one of these red aspects here. Here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to consider taping this over your TV, or if TVs, you'll probably find them afterwards laying around here. Tape one of these over your TV, and all it says is this TV my servant or my master? I guarantee you, when people enter your home, it will be a conversation piece. I go, what's that all about? Are you willing to have that before you, that you're aware and you're asking questions? You know, a way that you can also master it? Tape shows. Tape it. Tape it, watch it later, and then you can eliminate all the commercials, by the way, and you have more time for your family. But also, if there's something that's objectionable, filter that out of there. If you have cable, have you blocked out anything? Make sure you master that. Under A, actively evaluate where your attitudes are being shaped. Is there anything that you are laughing at that makes God angry? How many times, how many people, I wonder, have watched Friends thinking that is an aspect of how friendships are to be? When I think if you look at God's Word, that has absolutely nothing to do with God's description of what a friend is like. And God very clearly defines what friends are like. Think of the attitudes that are shaped regarding violence, integrity, sexuality, how to dress. Those are being shaped by what you and I see. Attitudes on witchcraft and magic. Even, have you noticed how Christians are portrayed?
the doofuses, and that we can sit back and laugh at. Have you also noticed how it is something embarrassed or embarrassing or something to be ridiculed if you're described as a virgin on TV? Are you aware that you need to actively evaluate and discuss what are the attitudes that are being shaped? Under R, would you regulate how many hours of TV you watch? How many hours? Sit down and talk among your family. What is acceptable? What is the amount of time that you desire to invest? Because life is precious. Life is short. Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Are you making the most of every opportunity, the evening you have, that short amount of time? Regulate that. You know what you also need to consider? Also listed at the bottom of the insert there are a few books regarding communication. You may need to go out and purchase those books to develop your relationship. Have you ever had this, where conversation doesn't occur until there's a commercial? And then you're able to have 30 seconds or 60 seconds, and then as soon as it comes back on, you're like, shh. If that's occurred, it could be that developmentally, you're not growing and developing. And now they're trying to make commercials, by the way, so that's so entertaining that you don't talk during that either. So be willing to regulate that. You want to develop in your relationships? I guarantee this. You will not develop in your relationships by watching sick, dysfunction relationships. And isn't that what many relationships are that we watch? The last thing, under T, turn the channel off when you're offended. I've had people who've rant and they rave regarding the network and this trash that they're allowing into their homes, and they want to go on and on. What are you able to do? Take this, change the channel, turn it off. We are able to do that. We can talk about something being evil, but are we willing to write a letter to a network? Are you willing to be proactive in regards to why this is offensive? Do you know how they detect counterfeit money? They do not bring out counterfeit money. They have someone study the real thing. And they study it and study it and study it. So whenever anything counterfeit comes their way, they know exactly what it is because they have gotten so used to the real thing. Spiritually and morally, have you and I gotten so used to truth and integrity and that which is right that whenever we view anything, see anything that is dishonoring, instead of laughing at something, we say, no, this is a counterfeit. I refuse to accept this. There are some here, you may be addicted to entertainment. You want to find out if you're addicted? Try to go 24 hours without it. Maybe 3 days, 7 days, without going to a TV, internet, movie. See if you can do it. And if not, what has become an American idol to you and I? It may not be someone who's singing. It may be that which we watch. Think of this account. If one of us tragically had a child who was murdered, viciously murdered, and you were to go over to visit that person's home afterwards, and you walk in their home, and on prominent display, there's this huge knife. And you find that a bit awkward, and you go, what is that? You go, oh, that's the knife my child was killed with. Look at that thing. That's a big one, isn't it? And look at that blade. Is that thing sharp? What would you be thinking of that? You would think, you have on display that which killed your child? That'd be sick. But what if you and I have on display daily, nightly, that which Jesus died for? That which we laugh at as humorous. That which we are allowing in. And Jesus says, don't you get it? I died for that. And yet here you're bringing it into your home and into your mind on a daily basis. Folks, have we forgotten how to blush? Have we gotten so desensitized that we are not shocked about anything? That so there's abuse and murder and sexual immorality and pain and we just kind of go, oh, I've seen that, you know. Have we gotten desensitized? Are we silently endorsing things that Jesus said, I died for that? Remember, we began with Job. Those four aspects that he said, these will be around my life. I'll be blameless, upright, fear God, and I'll shun evil. Is that what your heart is about? Is that the longing of your heart? This morning it may be that some of you, you are well aware that you have let your guard down and you're not being smart. I'm going to ask you in a moment to consider one final stand. I don't mean to embarrass you. My desire is that you would have an audience of one. That Almighty God, much as Job and Joseph, had an awareness of God's presence. That if God has somehow spoke to your heart today and said, I'm not being smart. I need to get smarter regarding what I am viewing, what I am watching. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to just take a stand. Not that others would see, but I think something occurs when we're willing to say, Lord, you got my attention. And I'll never be the same. I will not be mastered by what I watch. I'm going to pray. And then as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, there's going to be a point I'm just going to ask you, if God has stirred in your heart, just to stand where you are, just for a few seconds, and then to sit back down. That you would do this so that God knows, I want to be smarter. Father, we are men and women who have access to so many things. Lord, we can read and study of David and how awful it was that he looked upon Bathsheba. And Father, we know he wasn't content to just view it, but it led to sin. Father, we have the opportunity to view and see things in our society as never before. Lord, we can find and watch so many things. Lord, our desire is to have an awareness, much like Job 31. A man willing to draw a line in the sand and say, I will make this covenant with my eyes. I refuse to look lustfully. Father, Job was serious. His willingness to even offer all his possessions, his very spouse, to say, may these be taken from me if I defile and dishonor you. Lord, my longing is that we would be aware at Grace Church of how we're under terrorist attack. And Father, it occurs every day. Lord, I know many times I've not been smart. God, I pray that your Spirit would speak and prompt to each heart that you have a desire for them to be smarter regarding how they can overcome this culture. At this time, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, if God has spoken to your heart this morning and you have a longing and a desire to say, I'm going to be smarter regarding what I view and what I look at, would you just stand? That would be God's way of seeing, Lord, you have my attention. Father, there are many, many here that our desire, we want to be smarter. We want to be people who are aware of what we watch, of what we view, of what we see. Father, I ask that you would move in our presence, that we would be overcomers. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we close, I would love for everyone here at Grace Church to declare together these words from Psalm 101:3. If this is your longing, the desire of your heart, would you repeat these words aloud that's on the screen? I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Would you say that once again? I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Lord, that's our heart's desire. Hear us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Don. Thank you for tackling a difficult subject there and doing a really good job. of doing it. And let's don't let that little box in the corner master us. Let's master it. And that verse up there, I hit me like a ton of bricks a few weeks ago when I read it. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. And that should just roll over in our minds as we consider what the devil would like to put on our plates from day to day. Well, I'm certainly glad you're here today. And I'm sure Don asked you a little bit earlier with your praise and worship folder there to take out that little portion where you tear off. If you're our guest today, we'd like you to make sure you fill out your information, and we're going to have you pass that to the center aisle there. Most of you probably already have it filled out. If you've made a decision or if you have a prayer or praise, please do that. Write it down and then just pass it to the aisles, and the ushers are going to come forward right now, and they are going to pick those up. I have just a couple of things I want to say to you before we let you go this morning to the ABF classes. That is, there is some information inside the inside your worship folder on one of the separate sheets there about the Life Development Institute. Very exciting things going on Wednesday evening, all during the summer. And please look into that. We're going to have a wonderful time together growing and in the Life Development Institute. Next week is June 1st. We'll be recognizing all the graduates. And if you are graduating or have one of your children graduating, make sure that you let us know who they are. There's a sheet to do that. Also, I want you to know that summer is not dismissal time for Grace Church. Everything is going to continue to go on just as always. And in fact, I've been talking around the office that summer is going to be sizzling around here at Grace. There's some spectacular things planned for Sunday evenings coming up beginning in July, all the way through the summer. Some special artists that are going to be here to be bringing some beautiful music. And of course, we're going to continue with our Bible studies and so on. So we're going to have a great time together. And you guys just keep coming. In this study that we're doing on the Confronting the Culture, I read all kinds of books, and my wife reads even far more books than I do, and she has introduced me to a book that I need to tell you about. And if you're a father, and you are a or a mother, and you are really concerned about what the culture is doing in your life and your family, let me recommend a book to you. I don't do this very often, but here's one you need to get. Erwin Lutzer has written a book. He's the pastor of Moody Church. He's written a book called Who Are You to Judge? Who are you to judge? And much of what we're talking about in these 5 weeks, you can find information, very, very good information about it in there. And if you've ever read one of his books, he is very straightforward and hard-hitting. And he's going to ask you questions and make you think like you haven't before. You can get that in any of the Christian bookstores. It's called Who Are You to Judge? And it is by Erwin Lutzer. And I would encourage you to pick up that book. It will help you. One more announcement. Don't get nervous about who is going to be the new praise and worship director here at Grace Church. I know that we are going to miss Marty tremendously, but I want you to know that as elders and as the staff and as the praise and worship ministry leaders work together and look for the right person, we are not going to just plug a hole with a warm body. I want you to understand that. It's not about just getting somebody and plugging a hole. We want to make sure that this is God's anointed person to come in and to lead us in magnification here at Grace Church. So I don't want you to get nervous. We have lots of musicians, lots of very capable people. And Kevin, you did a wonderful job today. Let's give Kevin a hand. Thank the Lord for people like him. And so we have a plan. There is no problem. Everything's wonderful. But I just don't want you to get to worrying that, oh, no, we don't have anybody. We'll find the person that the Lord wants us to have. We've already been in contact with 4 different individuals. And we're working on this. And I want you to know that that God is going to lead us to the very person He wants us to have. I'm so glad you're here. And I want to admonish you concerning something. Do not ever let this family of friends lose the family spirit that we have here at Grace Church. You say, how do I do that? Well, you make sure you look at everybody that comes in and out of this church as a family member. Somebody that you love. Somebody that you care for and that you welcome. So in honor of that thought, stand to your feet. Look around you. Look at somebody and say, howdy, neighbor. Go ahead, tell them. Tell them I'm glad you're here. And then don't miss an ABF class. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a good evening and a happy Memorial Day. God bless you.
Light and the way of the cross. I'm Yes, Lord.